Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Now that I've cleared my throat, I'm still Larry Jacobs. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's March 13th, 2024, and I got a cool show for you today, thanks to my good buddy Steve Wakefield over at Discovery. All right, there's a mention for you, Steve, a shout-out. Tell your family. And we got Chris Brown here, who is the Deputy Associate Administrator for STEM Engagement. I love that. At NASA, going to outer space, Chris Brown. And then we got Robin Porter from Discovery, who is the Vice President, one of the Vice President of Digital Content. I'll find out exactly from Robin, but it's really, really cool stuff. We're going to talk about sparking student curiosity with NASA and how they're working with Discovery to make sure that all their resources get out to as many people as possible, okay, because they wanted to get out to K-12, all right, but of course they don't have the contacts like Discovery has, so you get the one's helping the other. It's a good example of one helping the other, one hand washing the other. So it's going to be a really nice show as we find out what the resources are, how they're working together, and all that sort of stuff. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website for the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org, and all the podcasts we do over there, as well as our magazine, Equity in Access, Pre-K-12, tons of information, and also our Equity Awards program. So please check it all out at ace-ed.org. Without further ado, good morning, Brown.
Good morning, Larry. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here, Almighty Deputy Associate Administrator for STEM Engagement. How big is your business card? That's a lot of words. Deputy Associate Administrator for STEM Engagement at NASA. Wow, that's a cool job.
It is a cool job. I'm cool very job. Lucky to be doing this role, and I'm very thrilled to be able to talk to you all about it.
Well, I can't wait. We're going to get into this, but let me say good morning to Robin Porter, the Vice President of Digital Content, Robin, or a Vice President of Digital Content?
Well, the Vice President of Digital Content,
there
and
you
a
go.
Vice President of Discovery Education, Thanks. And great to be with you again, Larry.
Thank
Happy
you,
Women's
Rob.
History Month to all of the incredible women in your audience, and to you
Thank
as well,
Thank you for
Chris.
Saying that. Thank you for saying that. That's great. Nobody's brought that up yet, including myself, and I apologize for that, and I'm so glad you said it. Thanks, Robin. That's great. I got two wonderful women here. Okay. I'm going to ask you both. I'm going to start with Chris. Chris, tell us what you do. Deputy Associate Administrator for STEM Engagement at NASA. And I'm curious, are you a teacher? Are you a NASA? Are you a NASA-ite? How do you get this kind of a job? Where'd you come from? Tell us.
Yeah, that's a great question, Larry.
Yeah.
No,
By the way,
I am not a teacher.
There is no such word as NASA-ite. It doesn't exist. I made that word up. Yeah. Good. A NASA-ite. There you go. Good.
We love NASA-ites. We love folks who are all over the planet who are supporting us and interested in our work. So I like to call myself a NASA gal and a NASA geek. In answer to your question, I am not a teacher. I am surrounded in our organization with lots of fantastic educators, but
yep.
I'm an engineer by training.
Oh, wow.
So I spent a big chunk of my career at NASA doing the technical work, working on spacecraft and instruments, and then eventually managing engineers and moving into a leadership position in engineering. And then I just ended up taking a very interesting and wonderful kind of career journey tangent into the work that I do today. And I'm very excited to be leading our efforts in inspiring and engaging students. So we have an organization here at NASA of over 250 incredibly dedicated people who are responsible for guiding all of our work in engaging students, providing resources to educators, and direct support to educational institutions all across the country. So at NASA, we believe that building the next generation STEM workforce is a
yeah.
key element of our mission. And to that end, yeah, we're making investments in developing mission-unique learning opportunities for students, including resources that educators can bring into the classroom. So it's
and
really
I,
wonderful
and I think I
got to
say something.
Work
say
for
something.
Us.
I got to say something, and that is, you know, you're a shining example. We're always talking about girls getting involved in STEM. And look at you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
so,
you're like a shining example, Chris.
That's really wonderful for me to say. And
yeah.
I'm thrilled that, Robin, you brought up, of course, Women's History Month, because for us, we really love to celebrate the pathfinders at NASA who have led the way for women, especially women in STEM. And, in fact, I'm sitting at my desk, and I have a copy of Hidden Figures, the book
that
highlights. Yeah, so I just happened to look over there, and there it is. And
yeah.
So we really do have a rich history of women's contributions to the agency.
Since you brought
up
Hidden Figures, I'm going to ask a question. Are you African American, or is that another?
I am not. I am not. Something that we are very passionate about in our office is
Since you brought up Hidden Figures, I was just curious.
Yeah. The idea of broadening student participation and how can we contribute to the nation's workforce, STEM workforce in particular, in contributing to increasing diversity and equity in STEM. It's so important that the STEM workforce for our nation represent the population at large. And so that's something that
absolutely.
We are working on.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I just got to say that we got to get more people of color, be they male or female, involved, okay, in science and engineering, NASA, et cetera. And to me, we have been missing, and we almost did it with Hidden Figures. We forgot about those wonderful ladies. We almost didn't use them, okay? They almost it's so unbelievable when you see that movie. I didn't read the book, but I saw the movie, and it's just so touching. But the point is, look what we would have missed had we not use their skills and expertise, okay? And this is what we got to realize. We got to get the whole population involved because everybody's got something to offer to this, okay? They just have to know it exists. It's kind of a passion of mine. And I got to tell you something, Chris. I'm going to get a great anecdote. When I was a kid, long before both of you were born, okay, around 1960, okay? And I don't think I'm wrong on that. Okay, 1960, the astronauts, Alan Shepard and all that, and me and my buddies, we loved astronomy, and all kids were interested in science, you know, with Sputnik and satellites and astronauts and all that. And I remember we just wrote NASA, me and my buddies, and we said, do you have any information you could send us about what you do? That was the entire note written in a kid's handwriting, okay? And, there was no internet. We didn't know the address. We addressed the envelope, NASA, Washington, D.C. I still remember this, okay? And about 3 weeks later, this giant box came to my house. And it was filled with a million brochures and a million information. It was just one of the, look at this, Mom. Look. And we all gathered around when we opened the box. We thought maybe it was a space capsule. But it was all a box filled with these great brochures and information. And I took it to school. The teacher thanked me. Oh, this is wonderful. All this kind of stuff was just great. Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Larry, what a fantastic story to share.
It's true. I still remember addressing that envelope, NASA, Washington, D.C., and we said, you think it'll really get there? And it did. It did.
That's fantastic. I know that we do have still in this building that I am in and at all the NASA centers, we do still have a team of people who respond to mail. And that includes now email, of course.
Yeah, of course.
In public inquiries, people who from all across the country and actually around the world who want to learn more about what we're doing. And it really is indeed part of our mission, and actually a driver for why we have why we develop partnerships with external organizations.
Bingo.
Pivoting to Robin, we have a fantastic
good segue,
fantastic partnership with Discovery Education. and with a number of other organizations to really truly magnify our reach and our impact and see how can we reach more and more students across the world, across the country.
Great.
in engaging them and attracting them to STEM.
I think that's great, okay? And it's a good memory for me, and it's great what you guys are doing now. And there's easier ways than just the putting a stamp on an envelope. Hi there, Robin. Rob?
Hello, Larry.
Tell me what – and by the way, I wrote it on here. This is NASA has the resources, and so does Discovery, by the way, okay? But Discovery has the one thing NASA doesn't have, that's contact. You guys reach to every school in the country, basically. Okay, in fact, you do reach every school in the country. All right. With that in mind, being smart, NASA and you guys are working together. All right. So tell me, Robin, what's going on? How's Discovery fit into all this?
Well, thank you, Larry.
You're welcome, Robin.
You know, we have an incredible, robust collection of tens of thousands.
Rob? Chris, you still there?
Collect.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Robin, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. You broke up a little bit. Okay, right then. Just say what you just said again. I want to make sure the connection's good. You just broke
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Can you hear me
yeah.
now?
I can. And I think you're good
okay,
now.
Okay, great. Okay. So I was starting to say that we have an incredibly robust collection of tens of thousands of incredibly engaging standards-aligned resources.
Rob, I want you to
really
stop
stewards.
And I want you to hang up and call back in. That I think there's a bad connection. There she goes. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Larry.
Yeah, she'll be back in just a second. Sometimes that happens, just a bad connection. Okay, how long have you been with NASA? What we're waiting for, how long have you been with NASA?
So I have been with NASA over 30 years now. So I've had a long and incredibly wonderful career journey. And started again out as an engineer. I was one of those.
Yeah.
You talked about women in engineering, women
yeah.
in STEM. At the time that I entered the workforce, I think about 8 to 9% of the workforce in engineering was comprised of women.
Yep.
And so for me, literally, I was typically the only woman in the room for much of my earlier times in my career. And of course, it's better now than it was. I think now the women in the engineering workforce is on the order of about 16%. So it's better, but we need to do a lot better. And that's part
yeah.
of one of the reasons why I'm really passionate about the work we do.
Yeah, dude, I'm holding in my hand just because you said it. There's a novel about Hedy Lamarr. It's called The Only Woman in the Room. I don't know if you ever read it. Did you ever read it, Chris?
I haven't read it. Sounds like I
okay.
should.
Well, you should because Hedy Lamarr was a genius when it came to electronics. Okay, the actress, the all-time
mm-hmm.
actress, Hedy Lamarr. And she helped to develop radar and sonar during World War II. There you go. Are you
yeah.
there?
Yeah, I definitely.
Hedy Lamarr, look it up. Okay,
she's
originally Austrian. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and she came to the United States, I think, in the 1920s, all right, as an immigrant and from a wealthy family. And she was just long before women could get involved in electronics and all that, but she was brilliant in it. And she invented stuff and all that. And since you said the phrase, the only woman, well, you were at some point the only woman in the room, okay?
Yeah.
There's a book called The Only Woman in the Room, and it's a novel by an author named Marie Benedict, and it's about Hedy Lamarr. And you can read nonfiction about her as well. She's a fascinating character and quite beautiful, I might add. Big movie star.
Great.
There you go. Stick with me.
Larry, I am back and better than ever.
You're going to go. Go get it today. You know, go to Amazon. Buy the book. Okay? And hi, Rob. Welcome back. Can we hear you now?
Hello. Can you hear me better now?
I think we can. There was a blurby blubby before, and I want to be here and do it. So tell us how Discovery's working with NASA. Go ahead. Robin Porter,
Absolutely.
Everybody. The VP of digital content. Yeah. Go.
Well, we love our partnership with NASA. It started about a little over 5 years ago, and really it was driven by the incredible interest
and curiosity to go back to our topic for the day of our students and educators. I can't think of a garners more curiosity and excitement and wonder and awe than space exploration.
Here.
And there's no resource that does that better, certainly an agency that's more committed to that than NASA. And so we reached out to NASA a little over 5 years ago, as I said, and I was connected to the incredible Rob LaSalvia, who leads a lot of the NASA partnerships. And we really looked for what were some incredibly creative ways that we could showcase and curate and create incredible experiences for our discovery education community through the resources that NASA shares. And so we have, in the last 5 years, showcased hundreds of incredible videos and images, mm-hmm. experiences with the NASA team. When the Perseverance landed on Mars, we worked with them to showcase a live stream that took students to where the action was happening. We've done career videos with people from throughout the agency so that students can meet a really, you know, you talk about diversity. We've showcased a really diverse group of engineers and scientists and researchers at NASA so students can learn all about STEM careers and how their interest in space exploration can potentially connect to a career. When the James Webb Telescope launched, we were able to showcase images as they were released in real time into our collection. And so we've really had such a rich partnership with NASA. They've been incredible partners in really helping us connect students to the real world through engaging and incredibly awe-inspiring resources.
Yeah, and that was well said, Robin. That was well said and absolutely excellent, and the resources are great. And I want to ask you this, and I'm going to ask Chris the same thing. I go back to when I was a kid again, of course, at the beginning of the space program and all that, there was intense interest from everybody just across the entire spectrum of the United States, okay? But it's been a long time, quote, since we've done the moon landing. People are pretty used to the space station being up there and all those great astronauts working all the time, 100 miles or whatever it is, above the Earth, okay? It's amazing. And I want to ask you about that word curiosity, okay? And, you know, the Hubble telescope, we see those incredible, and the Webb telescope, we see those incredible pictures. Is the curiosity still there? Okay, I hope so. And I'm going to ask Chris that. Chris, as you think about it with STEM engagement, you know, we're opening up this whole world, but they can see this whole world and they watch Dune at the movie theater. Okay, the rocket ship goes from one planet to the other. You know, is the curiosity still there? I want to build on that word. Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Absolutely. The curiosity is definitely there. I'm very fortunate to be able to be involved in a number of events and opportunities where we directly engage students. And I think that all of us who do that, I think teachers, I hope this resonates with your listeners who are teachers. I'm sure Robin and the work that we've been doing through Discovery as well is that you can literally see that spark moment when we've ignited that spark and interest in the work that we're doing. I like to call them the goosebump moments. For me, I always get goosebumps.
Oh, the light bulb moment.
Moment, absolutely. Yeah. And so... what I have been able to see is I talk about the work that we do. One of the unique aspects of it, I think you touched on it, is that we have exciting work that we do, and the discoveries that we enable through the work we do at NASA are really some at times mind-boggling in terms of we're enabling things that we might imagine, and then they play out. So one example of that, of course, is the James Webb Space Telescope.
Yep.
It's the images that are coming from James Webb are spectacular.
From the beginning of time.
Just again, mind-boggling, and so that what distinguishes our work, I think, from others in STEM engagement really is that tie to our mission and the work that we do. Yeah. But another unique aspect of the work that we do is we're very purposeful at bringing our people to the table. I like to talk about them as our STEM superstars. And it's, of course, we have the astronauts who are amazing, incredibly talented and dedicated and incredible
and brave.
People.
And brave.
And brave. Absolutely.
Because you're not going to put me at the top of a rocket heading up and down the space. They're much braver than I am. Yeah,
me too. And then, of course, we have our scientists and technologists and engineers and people who support our work in other disciplines, other walks of life. We all are really passionate about the work we do. And so having students have access to our people in a way that's engaging, I think, is part of that igniting and bringing about that curiosity about the work that we do in a way that is very vivid and compelling. And so for me, I'm very excited about that piece of what we do in bringing our people to the students in a way that is meaningful.
Well said. That's all I can say on that one, Chris. Well said. Robin, talk to me. When you talk, you mentioned it a minute ago, curiosity, okay? And are you finding, again, Vice President Digital Content at Discovery, okay, curiosity, what as you folks develop and use all the, and create all this stuff and get the word out to teachers, have are you finding that everybody's still got that curiosity factor? I hope so. From the education side of view. Yeah, the education point of view. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Rob.
You know, I think for us, in our DNA at Discovery Education and in our roots, and you know, that children are...
You're echoing again. Wait a minute, you're echoing again. What's going on? Did you do something? Did you move?
No, I didn't move at all. Right here, Larry.
All right, let's just do the checklist. Are you radioactive? Let's check that.
I am.
I'm just kidding. I know you're not. I know you're not. Okay. Is there a flying saucer landed nearby?
There possibly could be something related to space exploration.
Are you near a large electric generator? Like, are you near Chernobyl? Are you calling from northern Ukraine?
Well, you're so curious with all these questions. This is perfect for our topic today.
You sound good. You sound good now. I just want people to be able to hear you. That's all good. Say it again.
Absolutely.
Discovery, curiosity,
so,
STEM.
It's just in our DNA, and we certainly know, you know, our whole mission is to engage students and help educators as part of the teaching and learning process, and we know children are born with an innate curiosity, and certainly there's a whole body of research around the importance of curiosity as part of the learning process, that kids are more successful in school and in life when they're curious, and it improves learning outcomes, and it helps create patterns of growth and growth mindset, and students that are curious tend to have higher levels of positive emotion. And so for us, you know, we recognize the power of curiosity, and really everything that we do at Discovery Education, all of the resources that we create, the instructional resources and the content that we create and the partnerships that we have are all really designed to foster and nurture and elevate and celebrate curiosity. That's really the key, is having students be curious, having students wonder what happens next, why is that happening, and really help students foster that curiosity throughout their lives.
It's so darn important. I've got to say, you're going to love this, both of you. I want this to be, and I'm going to ask Robin this. Rob, interdisciplinary. I know we're talking about STEM, and that's science, technology, engineering, and math. But and you're talking to an old social studies teacher here, okay? Emphasis on both social studies and old, okay? But the key is that nothing happens in STEM that doesn't affect society. That's why we do this, okay? That's why we go forward in science. That's why we are curious, because that knowledge affects society, all right? And I'm curious, as you develop these resources, okay, and take the NASA information to schools, are we finding that enough, that there's enough interdisciplinary use of all this? I mean, we tend to think as we talk here that the math teacher or the technology teacher would be the one, the science teacher would be the one to use this. But I contend that this is just as good for art. It is great for, it is great for social studies. It's great for English. Okay, and I'm curious, is there an interdisciplinary approach to this? Robin, you're the expert in the education. Go, Robin.
Well, absolutely. Focusing on the natural
resources. That was a great question. I deserve some applause for that. That was a great question. Thank you,
Larry.
Larry.
Yeah, thank you.
Gold star for Larry, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that question.
Yes. Well, obviously, curiosity spans all content areas. And we want students to continue to be curious about their history and their future and all the content areas that they interact with. And the NASA resources within Discovery Education Experience are a great example of that. Certainly, as Chris pointed out, there's incredible connections to STEM and innovation and technology.
Yeah.
But the history of NASA, the rich history of NASA, the people like she brought up with Hidden Figures, the people who have contributed to the history of NASA, the people throughout the agency, looking at math. Certainly, you know, you look at all of the different math skills that people throughout NASA connect to, and the creation that we can do of interactives and instructional resources that help students make those connections. Communication is such an integral part of what the agency does to communicate its mission. And so communication, English language arts, ensuring that students can capture all of the things that NASA is doing. And so when we look at the resources that we have, you know, you mentioned art. We have resources that help connect some of the Hubble telescope resources to students creating art projects related to that. So there's just so much that connects across the disciplines to the resources that we have. And it's just a really prime example of a powerful partnership with NASA and Discovery Education that helps inspire curiosity, regardless of really what students are curious about. They can use that curiosity as a spark and continue to learn.
Yeah, and I got to ask, where as you develop educational resources, Chris, okay, and there's two aspects of this. There's putting people in space, okay, like our astronauts on the space station and they're talking about missions to Mars and all that sort of thing, okay? And then there's I'm going to say pure science, okay, of the Hubble telescope, the Webb telescope. Voyager just went outside the solar system. The Voyager just shut down. After all these years, did it come back, Chris? Do you know we're on top of that, Chris?
I don't have the latest on that.
We lost contact. With the Voyager. But my point is that all those were pure. They're pure science, okay? And I suppose you know what I mean, okay? When I say that, okay?
I do.
And where's the educational priority? Maybe it's equal to both and all that sort of thing, but I hope people understand this is a two-sided thing. Go ahead, Chris. I'm just curious.
The resources that we develop and the learning opportunities that we deploy really cover across the entire spectrum of the work that NASA does. And so it covers our science and our exploration activities, our human spaceflight activities, and our aeronautics activities, which a lot of folks, think, out there probably don't think about very much, is that we do space, but we also do air. We also do very exciting and pathfinding research in aeronautics. And that's looking at enabling the next era of flight.
Yeah.
Yes. So all of our resources do that. And going back, I think, touching on some of the things, Robin, that you said about the types of interdisciplinary connections, we have a whole range of things that we have done and will be continuing to do that really spur and foster interdisciplinary work. And then also we develop resources and learning opportunities that try to reach students where they are. So those students, as I think you both touched on, who are really interested in perhaps art or writing or music, we do a number of things there. In the past several years, we've had a couple of essay contests, one that we did with the Girl Scouts, another we called the Artemis Moon Pod Essay Contest, where we were reaching out to students across the country. to write about STEM topics, which would expose them to researching some things around a STEM topic, but also reaching their interest. And then another thing that we do very much is look at how to use art, both the visual arts and performing arts, in attracting and engaging students. So I know that we have done collaborations at NASA centers with local music organizations, orchestras, to bring NASA imagery into a concert and connect NASA people with people who come to those concerts. That's just one example. And then the only other thing I think I would touch on, kind of going back to that interdisciplinary work, is a lot of our student challenges are very much designed in bringing students together in teams. One of the things that when I get a chance to talk to students, I remind them that our work in STEM is really not a solitary endeavor. It is absolutely a team sport. We work with people across all kinds of disciplines. And Robin, you mentioned a whole number of disciplines that you may not think about, like communications is a great example. We have a fabulous group of communications experts here at NASA who help us tell the story about the work we do in a way that is really exciting. And that's just one small example of a whole number of other people across all walks of life who, if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do. So we've got an incredible workforce, of course, all very much passionate about the work that we do here.
Hey, Oprah, Chris, do you go out and speak to schools at all?
I will speak. I have done across the course of my entire career. I think a lot
or
of
at
us
conferences, whatever.
And in the job I'm in now, I do speak at conferences and to groups of educators and to people across the education ecosystem, including organizations, of course, that like Discovery Education that Robin represents, in terms of how can we collectively move the needle in attracting more students to STEM.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you found a great partner, Chris, because I've known Discovery for years, and I got to tell you, their stuff is so well respected out there. Okay, and they have, like I said before, they're like the post office. They touch every school, like the post office, which people forget, touches every resident in the United States every single day. Okay, and Discovery touches every educational institution every single day. Okay, and that's saying something. You know, that's saying something. All right, and it's a good partnership. It really is. And the other thing I can tell you, Chris and Robin, don't worry about Voyager. I know that they lost communications, but I can tell you that it will run into the USS Enterprise in Star Trek One. Okay, the first movie. Okay, they literally bump into Voyager. So don't worry about it. Okay, Chris, everything's good. Tell the gang.
Great.
Okay? Yeah. It's still going to go on. All right? You two, thank you both. This is just terrific. That's all I can say. You're just doing great work with this, and it's close to my heart, and I'm thrilled that you're doing it. Okay? I got everything linked up here, and I hope everybody checks it all. By the way, Robin, is there a special place that they can go on the Discovery site for the NASA stuff or vice versa? Is that working?
Absolutely.
I want
to bring up the eclipse that's coming up on
April 8th. April
8th. Yeah, we wanted to talk about that, definitely.
Yeah. You want to talk about it? You want to say
October.
Anything about that? Yeah. Go ahead.
So we worked with NASA on the eclipse in October to bring resources in, and we're really excited that we will be releasing a whole collection of resources for the April 8th eclipse that's happening across the country, which is so exciting.
I live in Maine. I don't have to go far. I live in Maine.
Fantastic.
You do not.
Yeah,
that's great.
Me, huh?
So
yeah,
we'll have maps that show the path of the eclipse. We'll have incredible science resources that explain to students exactly what's happening, what a solar eclipse is. We'll have resources about how to safely watch the eclipse. And so we've been working alongside NASA as resources are developed, and then we're creating our own instructional resources that showcase the maps and the videos and the resources that NASA has made available for us. So all of that will be available in Discovery Education Experience in our NASA channel. And then also, educators and students can go to discoveryeducation.com/solar-eclipse to get a sneak peek of several of those resources, and they can see those on our website. So we're excited about April 8th and all the resources
yeah.
that we're bringing in to Discovery Education, and are really grateful to work alongside NASA to make these available to our educators and students.
Yeah,
and I
gotta Larry,
say, thanks
I could...
for reminding me on that, by the way. Thank you, Rob. That eclipse
yeah.
is really important. That's good. Chris, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. And if I could add, I know that we are really excited about working with Rob and her team to bring all of our resources on Eclipse through the Discovery platform. In addition, on NASA.gov, the actual site is pretty long, so if you use your search engine and just search for NASA and Eclipse, you'll land on a site that has the map of the path of totality, as well as a whole range of events that are being held across the country to mark the eclipse. And it also includes our educational resources for educators to use in the classroom and also for students and their families. And we're also going to, we have a set of what we're calling sunspots. So we're going to be, NASA will be in along the path of totality in a number of locations. I know that I myself will be in Cleveland at the Great Lakes Science Center. At each of those sunspots, there's going to be a range of different activities that are going on. And so we're super excited, of course, about the eclipse. And do we have time, I'd love to know one other activity that we're doing that's coming up. Earth Day is a big day for us. Of course, every day is Earth Day. But on April 22nd, we'll be celebrating the annual Earth Day kind of marking of bringing an awareness of Earth and climate science to everyone. And one of the things that we've done this year that I want to mention so that educators can sign up is we created an initiative called Earthrise. Earthrise is really was born out of this idea of how can NASA help move the needle on elevating Earth and climate science in classrooms all across the country. And so what we've done is created a monthly installment, a monthly release of educational resources and activities to be used either at home or in the classroom. And educators can register to receive an email with the monthly release. Probably the best way to get to that is on NASA.gov is to do a search on NASA Earthrise initiative, and you will land on the site for that. I think last in counting, I think we were over 3,000 teachers across the country are receiving the newsletter.
Great.
And of course we want many, many more to do that. And
let's do 30,000. Yeah.
Exactly. 30,000 would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you'll get it because you deserve it. Yeah. And I'm going to say what I said at the beginning, the resources from NASA and, again, Discovery. I mean, it's just so incredible, okay? And all you got to do kind of is ask. You don't have to do that anymore. They're putting it out for you. Use it.
Right.
Okay? It's great stuff, everybody. Chris, thank you so much. This was just delightful to have you on. Thank you.
It's been delightful to be with you. My pleasure.
Yeah. Well, believe me, mine too. And Robin, thank you as always. Beautiful.
Larry,
done.
Thank you as well.
Okay. And you guys jump on one of those rockets and go to Mars. Have fun. Do it.
Sounds great. And if anybody wants to learn more, you could go to stem.nasa.gov, and all of our resources are there for everyone.
I hope we'll
have more teachers join us on our journey and exploration. We're really excited to be having them be part of the work that we do.
And the curiosity, they're all curious too. Let's hope it all works. Thank you, ladies. You have a great day. Okay, and enjoy
the
eclipse.
Thanks so much.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, great. Oof. What can I say? NASA. You heard it yourself. What can I say? We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening. My name's Larry Jacobs. What fun.